This project was produced by Belong Aotearoa with the support from the J.R. Mackenzie Trust and Planet FM. The series is an exploration of the employment journey for people of migrant and former refugee background in Aotearoa. It features conversations with people of lived experience and experts who share with us their stories and their own perspectives.
Morena, welcome to Pass the Mic. I'm your host, Shebnam Nisha, and with me in studio is our producer, Chyna Gonzalez. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Sun Min L. Park. Welcome.
Morena, thanks for having me.
Now let's get into it. When you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Actually, I wanted to become a pianist when I was little, like when I was 5 or 6. And then I wanted to become an interpreter.
Yes.
And translator when I was a teenager. Then later on, in the later stage of my teenagers and in my 20s, I did not know what I wanted to do.
And have you figured that out at the moment?
Yeah, I think I have finally in my mid-30s.
Oh, excellent. That sounds great. Son, I'd love to know where you're originally from and what brought you to Aotearoa.
So I am from Korea, and my auntie's family, they moved here a year before my family did. And my uncle and auntie were doing small businesses, and my uncle was tradesman. And in Korea, those jobs are looked down on by people. But over here, tradesmen earn, you know, good money, and they are well respected.
Yes.
So they bought a nice house in West Harbor, and they invited us to visit their new home in beautiful summer here in Aotearoa in 2002.
Yes.
And we fell in love and we moved over here the following year.
Wow. Let's talk about your employment journey. What was your first employment?
Actually, I don't quite remember. I think it was strawberry picking.
Yeah.
I came here when I was 15, right, with my mom.
Yes.
After they got divorced. That was another reason to move here. It's really hardcore studying in high school in Korea. I'm not sure if you've watched Sky Castle.
Oh, yes, I watched it, actually.
It's real. It's real.
For those night, evening classes and stay on for so late.
Yes,
oh, wow.
I did the same in middle school,
wow.
Intermediate. Yeah. So first, to escape that hell. And secondly, my parents got divorced. And in Korea, 20 years ago, there were, stereotypes. So it was also looked down upon any children without a father or mother.
Yeah.
People would say, oh, you're like that because you don't have a father. Or, you know, things like that.
Yes.
I don't know the word. There's a word.
Stigma.
Stigma, yes. When I went to church here, one of the little girls, she said that, oh, I have a stepsister, step-parent, and I live with my mom at the moment, but next week I'm going to my stepdad. You know, it was just, I felt liberated.
Yes, you felt like it was okay to be in situations like that, and that was new for you.
Yeah.
Because that was a different experience in Korea.
I felt accepted, you know.
Oh, wow, that is awesome.
Yeah.
And so, after strawberry picking, what did you do for work after that?
I didn't answer the question. That's another zoning out ADHD, very ADHD and autism-like, neurodiverse. So strawberry picking. Oh, yeah. When I was 15, we moved over here. Oh, 16, we moved over here. My mom had two jobs, working in a factory as a seamstress and also doing alteration work in the evenings and the weekend. And I and my brother, because we lived close to strawberry farms in Kumeu, during the strawberry picking season, we, you know, did one weekend of picking strawberries. But because we were new to the country, and 20 years ago, there was no smartphone or Google, or we couldn't afford a smartphone, I don't remember anymore.
Yeah.
We didn't know how to get paid. We just worked and came back.
Oh, wow.
Didn't have
did
IRD.
Paid?
Oh, yeah. We went to church Sunday, that Sunday, then one of them told us, you need to create IRD number and give them, you know, details so they can pay you. So we went back a week later to get that all sorted and got paid.
Yes.
But, you know, as a migrant, these are just one of the many difficulties you face.
Yes.
Yeah.
They don't tell you what's needed.
Oh, if they can exploit and get away with it, they would, you know.
Yeah.
Employer didn't tell me. Or maybe they were too busy, who knows, but my church pastor's wife told me. But otherwise, I would have waited and maybe just got unpaid.
Wow. Let's talk about you. You are a migrant woman, an Asian woman, and you are navigating neurodivergency right now. Why do you think we should look at the experiences of neurodivergent migrant women in Aotearoa?
Oh, yeah. So you asked me the question, what did I do after strawberry picking? It relates because I have had more than 40 different jobs. I mean, I was diagnosed about 2 years ago when I was 35 years old, late adult diagnosis. I do not know how I lived without knowing I had these neurodiverse conditions. And I have had more than 40 different jobs, often on casual contract with a 0 hour, you know, guaranteed. Back then it was legal on minimum wages. And in 1 year, when national government was in the office, minimum wage only increased by 15 cents an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so it was difficult.
So knowing your condition, how do you think this affects your work experience?
Oh, in a lot of different ways. Like everything, there are pros and cons, and people are all different experiencing ADHD and autism, and just neurotypical people also have differences, you know. I think we should be more accepting of each other's differences, whether it's physical, mental, you know, appearance, whatever, you know. So I was constantly finding new fun opportunities. That's why I think now it makes sense. I thought I was just struggling to survive in Auckland on casual contract without enough hours. However, retrospectively, looking at it in hindsight, big part of it was ADHD, I think, because that's a common trait. The big thing about ADHD is that you get bored of anything real easy and you get easily distracted. So once I had fun in a job for about a year, I move on to another job. And at the same time, I often had three casual jobs, you know, at a time. Yeah. So that's how I've done more than 40 jobs.
Wow.
In my 20s, I think.
Do you think migrant women are less likely to get diagnosed?
Yes, for many reasons.
Yeah.
To begin with, women are less likely to get diagnosed. I think it's because in the past, researchers were male and the research was done on male children.
Okay.
That's one, as a woman. Then migrant woman. I can use myself as an example. Korea, the awareness around mental health is... it's improving, however, 20 years ago, it was non-existent.
Yeah.
And my mom still would say, you just need to man up and, you know, deal with it.
Man up.
Yeah, I mean, she's a generation above, I understand. However, so that there's that difficulty, maybe lack of awareness, perhaps, but my own experience anyway, and financial difficulties, being able to see psychiatrist is... for me, it costed $1,500. I used my credit card and paid it off.
Yeah.
Also, looking for a woman of color psychiatrist was near impossible. To go through public system, that's a whole another story. But anyhow, so many reasons why.
Okay. That was a journey for you, wasn't it?
So for me, I had to prepare a lot just in case they wouldn't diagnose me with ADHD and autism. I did my own research. I kind of made a long list, which is another trait of ADHD, autistic people, and just shove it into my psychiatrist's face. These are all the symptoms I have. Do you think I have ADHD? You know, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I prepared.
It's really amazing that you recognized that within yourself. What are some of the barriers in the workplace?
Like everything, having neurodiverse conditions such as ADHD, autism and more, OCD and whatnot, have pros and cons and weaknesses and strengths that we can provide as an employee to the employer. And all those weaknesses, if the workplace can accommodate different things, it'll make the whole place a lot better for employees as well as the employers for productivity and all that. Different research shows different figures, but it's believed or known, some people would say 15 to 20% of the population may have neurodiverse conditions.
Yes.
And of course, not all of us are diagnosed. Like I'm just diagnosed recently. And so therefore, one of your colleagues in your office, or even two or three in your little office, may have neurodiverse conditions. So therefore, I think the awareness is very important.
Yes.
For us to be able to thrive together in the same space. And the weaknesses that we may have, or the conditions. So we are sensory sensitive. For example, I have a bit of a, claustrophobic conditions.
Yes.
Here it's okay because the ceiling's pretty high and there's a yellow, bright, you know, and whatnot. But in my office, we do have a big window. However, the blinds are always down.
Yeah.
And even if we open the blinds, it looks out to the industrial, like, car park, but no, like, not much sky or view. And also, being a union space, we have a blood red wall.
Yeah.
In, like, two sides of the, you know, room. That makes me feel anxious and claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And also, most of my colleagues in my office at the moment are male. So, therefore, the temperature is set for male colleagues. So it's always kept really cool. However, I'm also sensitive to temperature. A lot of neurodiverse people are. So it's way too cold for me in the office often.
Mm.
You see? So all of these.
For employers in New Zealand, what kind of actions can we take where neurodivergent workers are welcomed or included in the workspaces?
Yeah, knowing that we may have different needs, however, we also come with some weird superpower.
Yeah.
And that can actually benefit employers. I really want to kind of emphasize.
Yeah, absolutely.
We come with both, okay? We are a package. For example, I've got 5 university degrees. I somehow made it without medication and diagnosis. However, I never did any homework in school, public school system.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's one of the traits. And I do everything last minute. We don't have a good sense of time. Henceforth, I was late. I just lived down the road. So all the assignments, I've done it the night before, like starting at 9 p.m. very late, procrastinate, and finishing at 5 a.m. All my university assignments were same, whether it's 1,000 words, 3,000 words, or, you know, whatever, 5,000 words, all the same.
Yeah.
So my master's degree, which was, I think, required me to write 30,000 words.
Wow.
That was a disaster because you can't do that overnight.
No.
However, I did manage to do it in the last month. I wrote 1,000 words every day to make a 30,000 words. So I've done it. However, so therefore, employer, no understanding this, giving a shorter deadline project, we will do a lot better. You know, longer term deadline may be a bad idea.
Yes.
For these reasons. And also, because we don't have a good sense of time, we may be late to work by 2 to 3 minutes. So having that grace period of first 5 minutes before starting a meeting, you know, is important because I often miss first bits of my team meeting because the meeting started like on the dot or even 2 minutes before the time started because everybody else was there.
Yes.
I understand, but sometimes really important information is shared at the beginning of the meeting and I sometimes miss it. So having that grace period of 5 minutes before starting the meeting, things like that will really help.
Yes.
Yeah.
At your workplace right now, how did you bring across your condition to your employer?
So I've been with my current employer for the past 4 years.
Yes.
And I only got diagnosed 2 years ago.
Okay.
And my bosses are well aware. They are very understanding.
What are some changes that employers can make to accommodate for neurodivergent employees?
Like, it probably also should apply to neurotypical workers as well.
Yes.
But accommodating differences and their needs for them to be able to flourish and finding the right interest for them. Of course, it should apply to all workers. However, it becomes more important for neurodiverse workers to be able to flourish, to find the right interest, having a shorter deadline project. It'll be beneficial for both workers and the employer.
Sun, how do you think the conversation of neurodivergency in the workplace take place with the employer?
I think everybody's kind of responsible and accountable to make the workplace better for yourself as a neurodiverse person or neurotypical person, having a neurodiverse person as a colleague in the room for us to be able to flourish and support each other, that'll ultimately, it'll benefit the employer and everybody. And I think therefore everybody's responsible.
Yes. And what are some of the things that employers can consider when they make their workplace more inclusive?
Policies? So policies, yes, they are important, but all these companies and corporates, they already do have a fancy wording in these policies. However, they don't walk the talk, or it's just too vague and up in the air, something like, we tolerate nothing, zero tolerance policy. But in reality, you know, all the shit happened in the reality, you know, bullying, what else, racism, sexism just is everyday, you know, part of everyday workplace, you know. So that I think policies, yes, it should be in place. I think they are already in place, but I'm a bit pessimistic about developing policy. However, I think what will really help is being aware of the differences. Therefore, we will be able to understand and accommodate and support each other. I think that's kind of the key. How do we do that?
Yeah.
I don't know, educating yourself or having a mental health session at workplace.
Yes. What, in your opinion, is some of the things that can help us identify an inclusive workspace?
So I think there are the word stigma still around mental health and neurodiverse people. There isn't a good awareness around it just yet. I'm only discovering myself in the past 1 or 2 years, so and that is okay. So therefore, asking a question in the interview, you may just be the one who wouldn't get, you'll be the last. It shouldn't be the case, however, I am afraid that may be the case with most employers.
Yeah.
Because we are sensitive to all sensory stuff, accommodating working from home. Because in the current office, because I'm claustrophobic, I'm sensitive, easily highly distractive, I cannot even write a simple email in the office.
Yeah.
It's nobody's fault, it's just my condition. Therefore, when I work from home, I can write like 10 emails in half an hour. But when I'm in the office, I can't even write one simple email for half an hour, you see? So it's better for productivity for me and for the employer, just being able to accommodate their needs so they can flourish and do the good job for the employer. That's what they want as well, after all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sun, is there any projects you're currently involved with apart from work? Like, are you part of any communities?
Yeah, so that's another thing about these people like myself.
Yeah.
We would like to do 100 things, 100, you know, things at the same time. And a lot of, we are also interested in social justice issues often.
Yes.
Apparently, it's one of the conditions. These social justice work often are unpaid, voluntary work.
Yeah.
So I used to do a lot of voluntary work. So we are more prone to be burnt out. So I've got to watch myself. So having been diagnosed, I dropped all the voluntary work that I'm doing.
Yes.
What have I dropped? So being a part of a political party's volunteer, I dropped that down. What else? Oh, Anglican youth rep for the living wage stuff. I mean, I'm not a youth anymore one, but I also, you know, intentionally, you know, removed that responsibility.
Sun, we are coming towards the end of our interview right now. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to add on to our corridor today before we finish off?
Like everybody else, we may have some different needs that may need to be accommodated for us to be able to, you know, maximize our performance and flourish for the employer, because it's all about, you know, doing the job for the employer. But we also come with a lot of strengths. You know, weakness often always is a strength, and vice versa. So because we get bored easily, we are interested in so many things and good with, I often have a superpower in the last minute. So lots of varieties, difficult tasks, challenging tasks with shorter deadline. I am the right person. You can give it to me. Longer deadline, you may not see the good result, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about, I think, awareness and accommodating the differences everybody has.
That's great. It's very important for everyone out there to be accommodating to everyone's needs and just be inclusive in wherever we are, yeah? That brings us to the end of our Pass the Mic podcast episode today. Thank you very much for joining us, Sun. It has been lovely sharing this space with you. We wish you a wonderful day ahead. Thank you to all listening in. And with that, we are out. Namihi ka kite ano. That was our Pass the Mic episode. Check out the rest of our season dedicated to the employment experience of migrants and former refugees. Share your favorite episodes and subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, go back to our first Pass the Mic series, which highlights a range of ethnic experiences in Aotearoa. Our employment season is a collaboration between Belong Aotearoa, Foundation North and Planet FM with assistance from Voice of Aroha. You can find the link to these organizations in the bio.
Your interests on planetaudio.org.nz.
did. still call me. I'm over, happy, ready. God knows we'll be. In the meantime, be a little money, buy a little mercy. Well, we met this morning, now she loves me, says she loves me. Must be easy, look around you, all around you. You see the motion, you're not moving, you don't know how to hold on. Just keep it loose, don't get excited, it'll pass before long. Now one is good, one is staying. Well, here's your cool, take care, sip. I'm sorry you're leaving. I'm a little sad, all I had, you be returning. Boys upstairs are getting hungry. Out in the wind about how it will be. You can bet your fist, shake your head and head to the country. Got no doubt about it, my friend, that's where they'll find me. Now they won't lie, cause you don't matter. It's just fine if you couldn't lie, but it ain't where you belong. Slow down your speed, pick up your money and carry yourself home. Slow down your speed, pick up your money and carry yourself home.
Both is and both are sown. I am reading.
Your language, your interests, your community on planetaudio.org.nz.
Dunbar. The Konkani radio station of Auckland on 104.6 Planet FM.
Join the good guys for music, announcements, community notices, and interviews.